leatherette folder you can open up and see all the local attractions. I like all of that. I like the air conditioning. I like the guarantee that the toilet is actually plumbed into the rest of the world. All of that's good. All of that's good. So I may not see you on the static caravan park anytime, Chris, but I thank you for the call as ever. 0345 6060973. Are you planning to stay in this country this year, maybe next year, as you go on holiday? Some more calls from you in just a couple of minutes. We shall briefly sojourn to a different country, to the USA, to Cleveland, Ohio. Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, will join us in a few minutes' time. It's the final night of the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump is going to open his mouth and say words. We shall try to predict them next. LBC News Time is 2:32. Let's get the headlines from Tanya Snuggs.
Well, as you've been hearing, Donald Trump will officially accept the Republican nomination for US president shortly. Yesterday, Texas Senator Ted Cruz refused to endorse him. Police investigating the death of a man stabbed in East London say two people they arrested are teenagers. The 16 and 17-year-old boys remain in custody following the 20-year-old's murder in Stratford Park yesterday afternoon. And a report's heavily criticised working conditions at Sports Direct, saying staff are treated as commodities rather than human beings. The business committee says it's seen a disturbing picture of practices at the retail giant. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain, heavy at times across Northern Ireland and Wales, spreading to much of Scotland and Northern England overnight, and any showers elsewhere across the UK will die out. The low, 19 degrees.
This is LBC, London.
We've all got a favourite chair. A chair that understands our idea of comfort and welcomes us with open arms every time. If you haven't found yours yet, then why not visit the Chair Centre, where our aim is to find the right chair for you. We have a superb selection of electric riser recliners and high-seated chairs, and our clearance sale is now on. The Chair Centre at Arnos Grove in North London. Now also open Sundays, making life a little bit easier.
And the weather suggests a fine start with a 50% chance of light showers. Co-favourite with freak blizzard at 2-1 and then 3-1 hail like marbles and boggy terrain. 13-5 is snowy peaks, sandstorm filthy out and sleeting down. And at 10-1 it's all made up, going as soft to random.
Why gamble with unpredictable conditions? The new Peugeot 2008 SUV with grip control adapts to any weather. New Peugeot 2008 SUV. Control built in.
This is LBC with Darren Adam.
0345 6060973. Are you one of the apparently millions of people, we are told, that will be planning to stay in the UK on holiday this year, maybe next year? A couple of reasons being suggested. The fall in the value of the pound, maybe that's temporary. The fear of terrorism, the fear of security issues as you head abroad. These have been suggested as a couple of the reasons why. Tourism boards across the UK are seeing record numbers of inquiries this year. Will that last? Will you be part of it? 0345 6060 973. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. First of all, though, we sound the 45-minute Trump warning as we head over to Cleveland, Ohio, the Republican National Convention. Simon Marks joining us once again. And, well, we've heard a lot from Mr. Trump already this week, but we're going to hear what he always intended to say in about 45 minutes, Simon, aren't we? Simon.
That is exactly correct, Darren. I think they found their feet finally here tonight. There's a completely different atmosphere in this hall than we've witnessed over the course of the last 3 days. The delegates here, first of all, are here. There is not an empty seat in the house that I can see from my vantage point. It wasn't like that for the last 3 days. Even the band seems to be playing a little bit better tonight than it has earlier in the week. And we are waiting with bated breath and eager anticipation for Donald Trump to come on the stage. However, we already have a very good sense of what he's going to say, because they've distributed a draft copy of his speech. Obviously, things could change. This is Donald Trump we're talking about, after all. But it seems that he's going to focus on delivering a very populist pro-law and order message. But defining law and order broadly in terms of delivering security and stability to Americans at here and overseas, he's going to argue that this convention is taking place at a time of crisis here in the United States, and he's going to cite the killings of police officers and the killings by police officers of black Americans as one of the reasons that one of the issues that have created that sense of crisis and a breakdown in law and order. Very interestingly, it's a speech that echoes to some extent a speech that Richard Nixon made back in August of 1968, in which he warned of a similar sense of lawlessness requiring major change in leadership. You will be aware, Darren, that there is a time-honored American phrase that when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. The Republicans are, I think, very much in the process here tonight of making lemonade, because the argument that they are espousing, and we've just heard it espoused on the stage by Reince Priebus, who's the head of the Republican National Committee, is that next week in Philadelphia, when the Democrats hold their convention, America will see the same old politicians offering the same old solutions in the same old cadences. This Republican Party, he says, led now by Donald Trump, is offering something radically different to the American voter. And, you know, there's no question about it. There is some truth in that. And this will not be, judging from the draft that we've seen, a speech by Donald Trump that really dwells on the subtleties of policy or on the details. This is going to be a big grab the American public by the scruff of the neck piece that goes straight into their living rooms and says, look, you all know, I know, this country's in a serious degree of trouble. Hillary Clinton's not the woman to fix it. We need a new approach. I'm the guy to get it done.
Well, do you know, I've been following Reince Priebus on Twitter for some time, and his Twitter feed has the air of the Comical Alley about it, or Chemical Alley, I have to say. If you think back to the spokesman for the Hussein regime in Iraq as the troops were closing in, there's definitely something of that about it. But of course, Donald Trump has not had the week thus far that he would have wanted, not least last night with Ted Cruz, notably and quite pointedly refusing to endorse him during a speech which began with thunderous applause for Ted Cruz and ended up with him being booed.
Yes. Absolutely. And Ted Cruz really doubled down on that this morning at a breakfast with the Texas delegation, saying that he wasn't willing to become what he referred to as a servile puppy dog for Donald Trump after Donald Trump had launched those brutal attacks, he said, on his wife and also on the reputation of his father. Remember that Donald Trump raised questions about whether Ted Cruz's father at any point had met Lee Harvey Oswald, despite there being absolutely no evidence to suggest that any such meeting had occurred. I think Ted Cruz may have committed political suicide here. We had the former Speaker of the House of Representatives, Newt Gingrich, up in our position here about half an hour ago, and he was very critical of Ted Cruz. He wasn't actually last night, but tonight he basically, I think, was bailing on Ted Cruz and was saying, look, the Republican Party now has a new leader. It needs to get around that new leader, and it was a huge mistake by Ted Cruz that ultimately may cost him his political future, because Senator Cruz would obviously love to run for the presidency again in 2020, but there are many delegates in this hall who simply will never forgive him.
That's really interesting, because I read a couple of hot takes on this last night after Ted Cruz had made that speech, Simon. One of them expressing exactly the view that you've expressed and that Newt Gingrich expressed as well. Another one taking precisely the opposite opinion, which is that Ted Cruz is hoping and expecting for a landslide victory against Donald Trump in November, the scale of which will allow him to present himself again in 2020 as the face of the sort of conservatism that the Republicans really wanted.
And he may be right about that, but, I mean, let's ask ourselves a slightly different question. Had Ted Cruz come into this hall last night and said, look, ladies and gentlemen, you all know Donald and I don't get along terribly well. We both said dreadful things about one another during the primary process, but I'm going to observe the rules of the political game here. We're going to bury the hatchet in time-honored fashion. We're going to put all of that behind us because the future of the country is at stake and we need a Republican government. Then I think everybody would have come out of this hall saying, Ted Cruz, he's the man for 2020. Yeah. Instead, everybody came out of this hall saying, Ted Cruz has just committed political harakiri.
Well, that is interesting, because if Donald Trump doesn't succeed in November, and if Ted Cruz is out of the picture in the way that you describe, then the Republican Party is perhaps longer term in an even worse position than we currently imagine, because there'll be no one really to sort of carry that flag forward. Let's look ahead, though, if we can briefly, Simon, not just to Donald Trump's speech, but a little bit further ahead, and you touched on it here, to the Democrat convention, which comes up. And just one question on that just now. Do you get a sense that, if nothing else, it's going to feel more predictable than the Republican convention?
Absolutely. I think it's going to feel more predictable. I think it's going to feel more like an orthodox convention. I think there will be far less spontaneity, is the word that one Republican observer used to me about this particular convention. And, you know, to be fair, there is something quite refreshing about being at an event like this one this week where things didn't go according to plan, because those of us who have been coming to these conventions for many years, you know, often crave something that isn't predictable. And we've had a lot of that here this week, but the Democrats will want to use their organizational skill next week to demonstrate not just that they can bring off a very sleek convention, but to demonstrate that the entire party is backing Hillary Clinton. The contrast between a Republican convention in which large numbers of Republican A-listers have not been here, have not made appearances even on video. And by the way, just one parenthetical note, interesting that in his speech tonight, it doesn't look as though Donald Trump is going to invoke the memory of Ronald Reagan, which has got to be a first for a post-Reagan Republican presidential nominee. But the Democrats are going to want to show they've got Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, the entire elite of the Democratic Party around Hillary Clinton. They hope that'll be a positive. Republicans believe that the voters out there are craving something different. And I was chatting to one prominent Republican delegate just in the hall about an hour ago before all this got underway, and I said, what's Donald Trump really going to bring to the American public tonight? And he answered with one word: star power.
Okay, well, for people like you, people like me, Simon, you know the kind of person I'm talking about, because you're one of them and so am I. Nothing will ever be as exciting as the prospect of a brokered convention, an actual brokered convention. This hasn't been one. Has it got close thus far in terms of excitement?
I have to say, it's without question the most exciting, journalistically, the most exciting convention I've ever covered. I mean, the atmosphere in this room last night when Ted Cruz was booed off the stage, Donald Trump walking into the room very deliberately to take the oxygen of publicity away from a Ted Cruz he knew was not going to endorse him. It was unlike anything I've ever witnessed at a political convention before, and various analysts here have been saying to me you'd have to go back to 1964 or the early 1980s to find something like that happening at a convention. It was remarkable, and there have been several very similar examples of that during the course of the week.
Well, thank you for that, Simon, as ever. I guess one of the bigger questions that we need to address, and will certainly by the time we get to November, is the correct historical parallel for Donald Trump. Is it Richard Nixon? Or is it Barry Goldwater, in electoral terms, if nothing else? Thank you for that. Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent in Cleveland.